Yes. And tonight we'll have more of that spooky concert, and also we're going to have pumpkin carols, right? Pumpkin carols, how wonderful. Along with all of our opportunities to be together, we give you thanks to God and give thanks for visitors among us. Cutter is here from Hawaii. Cutter, welcome. We give you a small gift. Thanks for popping in. Almost got it. Yes. Nice to see you again, Matt. Yeah. Yeah, others, anybody else here for the very first time? We want to greet you. I'm so delighted. Please do feel welcome to come tonight to our spooktacular, which will be an awful lot of fun, and I hope that you'll find ourselves there. Oh, someone else is here. Our district superintendent, Tezenlo. Welcome. Oh, okay, thanks for popping in. And your name? Nice to meet you. Anybody else here for the first time? I don't want to miss anybody. Oh, yes, I know you want popcorn. Yes, I understand. See me after church. And now we have our announcements to be made.
And he, of course, just stole my thunder about announcing the spooktacular tonight. And just heard the preview of the Spooky Arden concert, which is always lots and lots of fun. You think I really need that? Okay. If you'll look at your bulletin with me, I promise not to read it to you, but I'd like to highlight a few of the things that are coming up. Besides the spectacular today from 5 to 7, concert 6:30 to 7, so if you just want to come for that. All church meeting is next Sunday morning, November the 4th, right after the 10:30 service. So we encourage everyone to come to the all-church meeting. Charge conference is coming up the next Saturday on November the 10th from 2 to 5. It's at the Lafayette Methodist Church. Methodist women are selling nuts and assorted other snacks to fatten us up for the holidays. So see them outside, and there's leftover salmon, hopefully, in good shape from last Sunday, and the salmon is available in the Northex. And you can read the rest of them. Thank you.
With those announcements, I'd like to ask you to turn to your neighbor and introduce one another, and see if you can tell each other of a generous act that you experienced from somebody else or did for someone else. A generous act.
All right. We will be doing the congregational introit. For those of you that are following along in the book, we're doing verses 3 and 4 today.
Come, come, everybody worship. Yes. 271.
Here we go. Come, come, everybody worship with a prayer or song of praise. Come, come, everybody worship, worship God always. Worship and remember your blessings great and small. Give to God an offering, show your thanks for all. Come, come, everybody worship with a prayer or song of praise. Come, come, everybody worship, worship God always. Worship and remember how Jesus long ago taught us how to talk to God, something we should know. Come, come, everybody worship with a prayer or song of praise. Come, come, everybody worship, worship God always.
You may be seated, and if the children come forward for their special time, I have a special activity for us today. Bloop. Bloop. Good morning. Good morning. Well, I have some money here I want to give to you, and you have a choice. Now, I'm going to give you two coins, and you can keep one and make a wish in the wishing well, or you can keep one and give it to somebody else, or you can make two wishes in the wishing well. It's entirely up to you. Whatever decision you want to make, I give you that permission. Be as generous as you can be. What does generous mean? Yes?
Sharing.
Sharing. There you go. That's for you. Yeah. You can make a wish, or you can give some away. What else is sharing? Come on, come on. What else is sharing? What is generosity? Come on. I'm not going to go over there. You're going to come to me, please. Thank you. Come with me. Yeah. What is sharing? What is generosity? Do you want some? All right. These are my coins. I got them from home. Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you. You can do whatever you want to with the two coins you have. Now, we've been talking about the water wheel, and it's an image for our ministry, asking God's grace, God's love to help us. And today we're asking God's love to help us to be generous. What's that word? Generous. Any of you who want a coin to put and make a wish, you are welcome to it. Come and get it. All right. There you go. Now, when you put your coin in the wishing well, make your wish. Make it come true. Anybody else? Nobody wants to make a wish? Come on, it's free money. Come on, guys. You're missing out. All right, kids. You decide what you want to do, whether you want to keep a coin. Another person. All right, great. Yes, here you go. Make a wish or give it away. It's up to you. Oh, excellent, excellent. Wonderful. All right, kids. One, two, three. Decide what you want to do. Keep it, give it away, make a wish, or split it up. It's up to you. All right, that's your decision. We're learning about generosity today. The money that goes in there will go to the church. All right, I want you to know that. Yes, you want to count the money that's in the wishing well. I see. All right. Anybody in the choir want to make a wish? We follow up our wishes with prayers. You do. You want to make a wish. All right, good, good. Don't be shy. Free money, I'm telling you. It's from my house, and it's for you. Anybody else? Oh, heck yeah, it's free, yeah. Did you put it in your mouth? No, okay. All right. You already had some. Thank you. All right. Decide what you want to do with it. All right. Generosity is a choice and a decision. Oh, please, yes. Generosity is a choice and it's a decision. And it's what we're all about as the people of God. We share our generous hearts with this community of faith. We're also remembering today the violence in Pittsburgh, the bomb threats across the country. Our hearts hurt for this kind of ugliness. But our hearts belong to God, and we can choose to be generous with His Spirit. Would you pray with me? Would you hold my hand? Oh, it's got a coin in it. Okay. Holy God, thank you for being our friend and showering us with gifts. Love, hope, hearts, and yes, money that we can choose to be generous with. We ask your blessing on us so that we can be a blessing to others. Bless these, our children, and the gifts that we give through Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, children. Thank you very much. You can go with Sunday school or playground. I got more coins. Thank you. We do have one further announcement I want to lift up. Glenn, please come forward. Glenn is part of our special Thanksgiving ministry of gloves. So Glenn's going to talk to us about that.
Good morning. You know, it doesn't seem like ski glove weather, but in a couple of weeks, we're going to go down to the Bandshell and have our annual Thanksgiving in the park. And the reason I'm up here is just to remind you, we're collecting for these gloves up until the 11th of November. So if you want to contribute, you can contribute in the narthex. Belinda or somebody will be out there at the table. Also, if you'd like to come to help out at the Thanksgiving in the park, you're certainly welcome. We get more people every year, and the more the merrier, so to speak. And it's nice to see the gratitude on the people's face that we serve with this ministry. So I won't take any more time because I wasn't really on the schedule. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're fine.
You're just fine. There are lots of ways for us to participate in generosity, and I hope that you'll choose the one that speaks to your heart. We have a time to share our joys and our concerns together. I've been asked at their service to announce that the rumors of Steve McGrath's demise are greatly exaggerated. It's a different Steve McGrath in the paper than our Steve McGrath, but God bless to their family just the same. I did mention earlier our prayer concern for the synagogue in Pittsburgh and the deaths there, the killings there, and we are praying for our country. I encourage each of you to vote your conscience in the coming election and also to participate in community that reminds us that we belong to each other, we belong to God, and that we belong as a people together. We celebrate Joe's birthday. Congratulations, Joe, on all of your accomplishments. Yes. Others, other joys or concerns you'd like to share? Yes, Stephen, thank you.
Just about an hour and a half ago, my daughter Abby got confirmed.
Yes.
I'm so happy and proud.
Happy and proud.
And she gave half a sermon. I was amazed.
Hey. Look out, world, Abby's on us. Yep. That a girl. That a girl, confirmed. Who else? Frances Boggs had a car accident, and she has a bruised sternum, and she's in rehabilitation. And so prayers of support for her. Phil Youngren had a trip to the hospital as well, and he's doing fine. He sits over there at 9 o'clock. That's why I'm pointing in that direction. Who else do we know about that needs special prayers? Yes.
Kelsey.
Yes.
She was in the hospital last night.
Kelsey was in the hospital. Oh, I didn't realize this. Kelsey is helping with our youth program, also a chaplain at Fraser Meadows. While Sarah is on maternity leave, Kelsey is helping out and has been in the hospital, so prayers of support for her. Others? Yes.
Glad to have Kitty back with us.
Kitty, welcome back. Glad that you're able to be among us. Good healing. Anybody else? Where have you seen the Holy Spirit working? Where have you seen the Holy Spirit of God working? Don't have to tell anybody else. This is your little secret. Where have you seen the Holy Spirit at work? Let us take some time in silence first to pray, followed by the pastoral prayer and the Lord's Prayer. Holy God, this is your world in which we live and move and have our being. And too often we cry out in anguish, not knowing what to do or say, not knowing how to make the difference that we want to make. We pray this morning that your blessings would fall to us, that we might be a blessing to others, and for no other reason. We pray for our brothers and sisters in the Jewish community. We pray for our political process, for the faithful to speak with a clear voice, both civilly and in worship. And yes, we pray in anguish when even our worship spaces are not free from violence. Help us this morning. Help the church. The church visible and the church invisible. Those who love you, Lord, all around the world. to find kinship and brotherly love, to find themselves in helping relationships, to find themselves in meaningful sacrifice. Be with Mountain View as we seek to be your faithful people. Be with this congregation as we seek to speak with love in the world that sometimes doesn't recognize it. And be with us this morning as we are consecrated and as we consecrate our gifts to you. Through Jesus Christ, who taught his disciples to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." God bless you. You may be seated. As the ushers come forward to receive our tithes and offerings, our pledge cards will come forward at the end of the service. This is for our gifts for now, for the work today, for the kingdom of God in these moments. Our consecration gifts for next year will be received at that time. Lord God, what generous gift would you ask us to give today? What blessing might we offer? What kindness, what sympathy, what encouragement? How have we known generosity received from others? And how would we share it, even as we have been blessed? We ask you, God, to be with your people of Mountain View and with your sacred community throughout the world. Help those who have yet to know you and your love through our generosity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Won't you be seated?
Please join me in this scriptural meditation. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. The scripture today is found on page 979 in your pew Bible, and it's Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
What shall I render to my God for all his mercies store? I'll take the gifts he hath bestowed and humbly ask for more.
The sacred cup of saving grace I will with thanks receive, and all his promises embrace unto his glory live.
Well, I'm delighted to be able to preach with you this morning and share with you the gospel of Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, bless us that we might be a blessing to others. Strengthen us that we might be a light for the nations. Encourage us that we might bring hope to others. Through Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. It was mentioned at the first service this morning at 8 o'clock that we hardly ever hear from Hebrews. This is not a letter that we read from very much. It's full of really great advice from St. Paul, and it's unusual that we hear from it. But it is the one book in the Bible that declares for all to read that men should make the coffee in the household. Hebrews. Yes. Look, I know that you're all good people of noble intentions, whether you laughed at that joke or not. That you support the work of this ministry in the United Methodist Church, 110%. I know that you will do your best to give generously, both from the heart and out of holy obligation for the life-changing work of the gospel. I know that even if you didn't come forward to receive a coin from me, you have wishes for this ministry. You have desires for this church. You have thanksgiving to offer for the friendships that you know here and the love that has been encouraged here by the community of faith of Mountain View. I know that you're patient and thoughtful in your faith. I know that you're living lives of faith and practice absolutely soaked in God's grace, absolutely soaked in the free-flowing love of our Creator. And I know this because several weeks ago we've been broadcasting that today would be Consecration Sunday, that when the church collects our annual pledge cards and looks for full support of the Mountain View's ministry of Mountain View, that you've known this for weeks and weeks. In fact, you knew that first thing this morning when you crawled out of bed this morning, except maybe for Cutter, who's visiting with us this morning. You knew that we'd be collecting pledge cards this morning, and you came anyway. God bless you for doing that. I know you're kind and thoughtful and generous people. I know your heart hurts when the world hurts. I know that you reach beyond, reach deep, reach far for the kingdom-building work that gives you hope in Jesus Christ. Generous people, up and down. And every day in your lives, you work to make a difference in the world that God loves. I believe that we all would like to live in God's light as much as the world would allow it. And I think we'd all choose to be generous people if we just weren't so distracted in our lives, right? There's a story about a tiny picture postcard New England village, a town where it so happened that the late Paul Newman was fond of vacationing. A woman and her family were visiting there at that seaside town to catch the autumn colors in that time of year that's so beautiful in that part of the world. And on the Saturday morning of their weekend trip, she felt a craving for a double-dipped chocolate ice cream cone. Double-dipped chocolate ice cream cone. So she stopped by the local cafe and general store, and when she walked in, there was only one other customer in the place, a man in jeans and a t-shirt sitting at the counter, having a donut and hot coffee. Idly, the woman glanced his way and then did a double take when she realized that it was none other than Paul Newman. Newman noticed her presence and nodded politely and went back to his coffee. And she vowed to herself that she would keep it cool. She thought to herself, well, he's just going to want his privacy. He just ordered his coffee. He just wants to sit there. He doesn't need me bothering him. Just go ahead, order your ice cream and be on your way. Pretend there isn't a famous movie star sitting there just a few feet away. And that's exactly what she did, although she did, when telling the story later, say that her heart was thumping wildly the whole time and her hands felt clammy. Calmly, she watched the clerk scoop out her ice cream and pack it into the cone, never once looking in Newman's direction. And then she handed over her money, accepted the ice cream cone, and received her change, and headed out the door without a sideways glance. She was being cool. Just as the screen door slammed, she congratulated herself how cool she would have been. She handled the whole situation like a real Hollywood insider. But when she got to her car, she noticed that something wasn't right. She noticed that something was missing. Now, where is my chocolate chip double ice cream cone? She said to herself. Could I have left it in the store? Sheepishly, she went back into the store, hoping that she'd see her cone on the clerk's hand or maybe in one of those little holders on the ice cream counter where they put the cones after they're made. But no. She looked left. She looked right. There was no sign of her missing ice cream cone. She was just about to ask the clerk if he remembered handing the cone to her when she happened to glance over to Paul Newman. His blue eyes were sparkling with amusement. His flashing of his pearly, trademark pearly white grin, he said to her, "You put it in your purse." Now there's a woman who's distracted. She's an example of how sidetracked we can become in this life. there, her chocolate chip cone melting away in her pocketbook. We can all be distracted from what's truly important. We can all miss our heart's desire in this life, and even what's in our own best interest. You and I are subject to distractions. Well, I believe that you and I are not here by accident this morning. You knew we were doing a pledge campaign today, and you came to church anyway. We're here with a purpose ordained of God to show love and support for the church that we care about. We're here to consecrate ourselves and our pledges through the work of Jesus Christ in the world. We're here to make a difference to the best of our ability. For we give ourselves for nothing less than the kingdom of God and our part in the transformation work of Jesus Christ. Now, I promised you last week that I would share with you some ideas about how you might decide what your gift might be for the church this year, how we might decide what to make for an offering for the next year. When do we choose to make our stand for the faith that we believe in and the practice, the spiritual practice that we know will make a difference? What would Jesus give for the earnest change of heart in his people and in his church? Well, I could illustrate a practical guide by giving the compared value of a visit to Starbucks. We've done that with you before. $5 Starbucks run once a week. I'm not asking you to give up your Starbucks every day. I know what a tragedy that would be. But at a starting level of giving of $5 every week, we've illustrated the kind of ministry advances we could make at Mountain View and what we could support. Likewise, I could suggest giving proportionally to the value we place on this sacred community and the growth, relationships, faith, and encouragement that we know just by coming to worship and the experiences that we have just by sharing the gospel love of Jesus with one another. To use a more common analogy, we could suggest that the time-honored practice of tithe from the Bible, that book of faith that we hearken to, could be a good place to start. If we were to use a soundbite or a bumper sticker kind of notion, we might say it this way: God doesn't need more tippers in church. God needs more tithers who acknowledge all that he has done and given them. I could insist that we honor the biblical standard of a tithe. 1/10 of our income for the work of God in ourselves, in our community, in our world. I know for a fact that I am so humbled when I meet someone who gives a tithe. So humbled when I meet someone who's committed to that standard. Because I know how it shapes our lives, how it shapes our character, how it touches us and challenges us and helps us make different decisions otherwise. Still, whenever we talk about the tithe, people end up missing the point. Is it really 10% that God is asking of us? Is that 10% of our net or our gross, right? Is it going to be on the Colorado income tax form, and what line will we write that off? I'm assured that our gifts to charity are still deductible from our Colorado 1099 or 1040, right, Chris? I asked her this week just to make sure I was correct. The point here, friends, is that God wants us to give from our hearts. God also wants us to give out of a serious sense of holy obligation. Because God wants us fully committed, all together for good, all in, go big or go home. But I realize that that's a lot easier said than it is done. According to Scripture, God simply expects sacrifice for the building up of the kingdom. God wants our investment for the transformation of the world. And God longs for us to mean what we say, to say what we mean, and to mean generously the gifts that we offer. It's a big sacrifice. It is an immense and meaningful commitment. God expects an awful lot, and yet God has given a lot too. I know that what I'm saying is radical. I know that what I'm saying is radical in our half-in, half-out, half-hearted world. our reflexive, cynical society, our postmodern, and some would say post-trust culture. But hear with me again the words of St. Paul and the lives that are implied by its meaning. Keep your lives free from the love of money. And maybe the more difficult one, be content with what you already have. For God will never leave or forsake you, friends. So we can say with absolute confidence, the Lord is my helper. And most importantly, I will not be afraid. Now, all of these passages are from his experience with the Old Testament scripture and his experience with the Holy Spirit on the road to Damascus, Deuteronomy 31, and the Psalms. So this is out of the whole tradition of faith, Judeo-Christian faith. The Lord is my helper. Will you say that with me? I will not be afraid. Ooh, let's say it like we mean it. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. Living in total trust of God's grace and his son Jesus Christ, what's the worst that can happen to me? Living as generous people, what's the worst? Why should we be afraid? Friend, that sounds an awful lot like real freedom to me. Our choices, you see, are how we help turn the pages in the chapter book of life. Our choices are how we make decisions and turn the chapter book pages from one part of our life to another. When our children and grandchildren see us doing this, that's how they learn to live, making good choices and moving forward in life. That is real freedom. Choices like choosing between good and evil. Can you tell the difference? I hope so. Choices like deciding what we're going to listen to, what we're going to endorse, how we're going to vote. Choices are key. Like deciding how we're going to support this church and the sacred community that's around it and the ministry that's beyond it. Choices are key. What priority are we going to give our sacred community in our lives? And why would we want to make such choices? Well, you see, when we want absolutely everything, we achieve nothing that we really want. Think about that for a second. When we want absolutely everything, we can achieve absolutely nothing that we really want. In demanding everything, we lose our choice. In our distractions, our choices become confused. That seems reasonable. But our choices are where we learn to cooperate with God. They're where we learn to cooperate with others in changing and transforming the world with the help of Jesus Christ. Our illustration has been this one. This year has been about this water well and the ecosystem that surrounds it. This morning it was a wishing well. Last week we talked again about the buckets and how one spiritual practice feeds the next one. And each one of the buckets is a spiritual practice that pushes the wheel forward. By God's grace, it pushes the ministry forward. This week, I turned the volume of the water, the grace element in our illustration, which is never lacking. But sometimes there are blockages. And you know, that wheel just wants to turn round and round. It doesn't even want to go backwards like it did last week. Why do we make the church a priority? That's where our biggest investments are demanded today, both heartfelt and generous. That's where we can have an opportunity to transform this whole world, which so often its news makes us want to cry. A little while ago, I was really taken by this story I read from Africa, and it's become a reference point for me in my giving, in my generosity. It seems that a missionary preached in a remote village, poverty-ridden, in West Africa. Now, I've been to East Africa several times in Kenya, but I can transfer my experience over into this part of that continent. You see, he appeared for some Christian work there throughout the area and encouraged those present to give whatever they could for the construction of a building. Now, this building would double as a medical clinic and a place of worship, both of which were desperately needed in that part of the world. No less than, and no more than 2 hours later, after the worship service, a young woman came up to the missionary and presented him with $40 to be used for the building project. That is an immense sum in the circumstance. He was absolutely stunned. Where on earth did this woman come up with $40, such an enormous sum, in a region afflicted by forbidding circumstances, hunger, poverty, food insecurity, violence? Confounded, he posed his question as politely as he knew how to pose the question. And through the translator, he was informed that she had gone to a wealthy planter and sold herself into his service for the rest of her life. Now, let me be clear about what I've just told you. She had sold herself into the service of a landowner for the rest of her life. And why? She said this was her way of giving herself to the service of Jesus Christ. Not partially as a casual gift, not cynically for the love of money, but totally and completely and sacrificially for the love of God. I am humbled by this story. It sounds like a radical price to pay, doesn't it? If you think such a measure of commitment is radical, however, more than tipping, more than tithing, remember, everything we have belongs to God. Everything we are is fruit from knowing God and the Holy Spirit. Every day we're given this generous gift of God, the gift of life, and we're privileged to give that piece of ourselves away in humble acknowledgement. Call it anything you want to, but don't call it less than it is. It is total commitment. That's what our faith demands of us. It is a humbling thing when someone is this kind of generous, and it gives our hearts hope to know that God will never leave us abandoned. We need not fear. We need not be bereft. One of the stories that's heard at this time of year, I wonder if you've ever heard it before. Seems the hog and the hen were sitting down in the narthex to discuss the next stewardship campaign at the church. Weeks in advance, the hen said to the hog, the stewardship team has decided to hold an enormous brunch for the entire congregation following the consecration Sunday this service. It's going to be amazing. The hog said, that sounds great. Everybody loves to get together, laugh and talk, and everyone loves to eat. And at this one, his mouth began to water as he thought about the food. The hen continued to describe all the things and plans that have been made, the mailings, the pledge cards, the little gear inside the pledge cards, the charts, the graphs. Why, you know, that church even had a water wheel like we do today. She said, everybody's been called, all the supplies have been ordered, and the menu has been decided. And at this, the hog leaned in, for this was his favorite part. The hen continued, we're going to serve fruit and bagels. And I don't mean just any fruit. Watermelon and other kinds of melon, honeydew and cantaloupe and grapes and strawberries. It is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Coffee and juices, of course. And finally, you know, we're going to serve eggs and ham. And it will be a delightful conclusion to a successful stewardship drive that not only supports the minimal notion of what ministry is in our church, but even the expanded notion, we're going to be able to grow in our giving and celebrate that at this meal. At this, the words of the hen began to sink into the hog, and the pig's face dropped. The hen noticed the look on the pig's face and said, "What in the world is wrong with you?" The hog lifted his face to her eyes and said, "This does sound wonderful to me. It does. People love to get together, and there'll be laughter, and the food sounds great, but for you, hen, it's just a contribution. For me, it'll be total commitment." She's contributing, you see, the eggs. He's contributing the hams. "You know, I know you're all good people, noble intentions, and that you support the work of ministry here at Mountain View. That is clear. And I know you'll do your best to give generously, both of heart and out of a sense of holy obligation for the transformation of people's hearts, for this community and for the world. What remains to be seen is how distracted we are as we come to this deciding moment. What remains to be known is if we're tithers or tippers for the work of Jesus Christ through this place. What is yet to be decided is if we're going to make a contribution or we're willing to make a commitment to our church this morning, and exactly what kind of ministry we will have here at the corner of Ponca and Pawnee. The spiritual practice of generosity is an important one. It's an important sign of God's priority in our own lives. But I also know it's one of the most difficult spiritual practices to exercise. Ultimately, no matter how you choose to support this ministry, choose with daring, choose with honesty, choose with courage, acknowledging all that God has done for us in our lives. You and I are not here by accident this morning. We're here to declare and show our love and support for the church that we love. This is one way we might do that, expressing it through this pledge card. But there are other ways to offer ourselves in kindness and in grace. Someone gave me a bar of soap made from the beeswax that I gave her. That was the act of generosity that I remembered. Someone mentioned that somebody cooked them a meal with love in their hearts, and it tasted oh so good. Some might remember an act of generosity from this community of faith, where they were welcomed as a stranger into our midst. Some will remember that we stand for justice and kindness and against violence in all of its forms. Some will recall that their generosity was met with real change, life-giving change, when we celebrate a birthday and all that it means. This is just one way to express your gratitude and your generosity. I hope it's a meaningful way, but generosity as a spiritual practice is essential for us to come to realize who God is. Not just a contribution, but a real commitment. Amen. As we sing our closing songs today, I invite you to come forward. There'll be two songs that we'll sing together. And this allows us to bring our consecration cards forward, but also to ask God to consecrate us for the work of His kingdom.
To the house of the Lord.
Some have received gifts for the wishing well. All that I had to offer, I gave the rest of the kids. Our gifts matter. Our wishes matter. Our hopes and our dreams matter. And our pledge cards matter to help support the life and work of Jesus Christ in this community. I know we'll do the best that we absolutely can for God in this place and the transforming work that you and I share. It is a privilege to share that work together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, what would Jesus give?